Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to be in Jeremiah 43 tonight, and we'll read the verses as we work through it tonight. And before we begin our journey, let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word, and thank you for a group of people that take it seriously enough in the middle of the week to take a break from whatever's going on in life to be here, because they love you and they love the scriptures. And we pray that these scriptures will minister to us in a very personal and practical way, Lord, and develop us sound in faith, so when we see the Savior, which we believe is going to be soon, you'll be pleased with where we're at because we were zeroed in on your word. Thank you for this group tonight. Meet all the needs here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone told me an interesting story this past week. A relative of theirs loved to smoke, and he had health problems. And when he'd go to the doctor would tell him, stop smoking. Well, he didn't like the doctors telling him that, so he would go to a different doctor. And that doctor would tell him, stop smoking. Apparently, he went to multiple doctors. They all told him the same thing, and he finally found one who said it's okay to smoke. So really, what he didn't want to do was listen to the counsel that didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. As long as the people were telling him something he didn't want to hear, he didn't like it. But when he finally found a doctor that would tell him what he wanted to hear, boy, he liked that. He acted just like Israel back in the days of Jeremiah. When we go through this book of Jeremiah, it becomes very obvious that Jeremiah's biggest enemies were religious leaders that opposed the word of God. We could say it this way: the biggest enemy of God's truth has always been religion. The biggest enemy of God's truth has always been religious leaders. There are those political and religious leaders that do not tell the truth. In fact, they'll actually tell people just the opposite of the truth. They butcher the word of God. They tell people what people want to hear. A lot of people want to hear, let's go back under the Old Testament law. And there are a lot of ministers out there that will tell them, go back under the Old Testament law. It's what they want to hear. It's not the truth, but that's what people want to hear. And this is as true today as it was in the days of Jeremiah. The biggest enemy of God's truth are religions and denominations that are twisting the word of God and making it say what it does not say. And they use the word of God to support their own ideology. And that's pretty clear from this chapter. Now, we may recall that the people of God wanted Jeremiah to pray to God and to report to them the word of God. They said to Jeremiah, you go pray and ask God whether or not we should stay here in the land that will be controlled by the Babylonians, or whether we should go to Egypt. You pray. You come tell us what the word of God is, and then we'll do it. Well, God came and very specifically, blatantly said to his people, do not go back to Egypt. There's no way God would ever want his people going back to Egypt. Now, my sister and her husband are in Egypt right now. And they've been sending us pictures from there. There's some interesting things to see there. The Sphinx and the pyramids, the camels that you can ride and things like that. But quite frankly, just looking at the land, it's a bunch of dirt. And I'm thinking it doesn't really have a drawing card to say that's really a plush area. Well, God's people wanted to leave the promised land and go back to Egypt, and God said no. And God's people had said, remember, they promised before the Lord, you tell us to do whatever it is that God tells us to do, and we're going to do it. That's all you have to do. Tell us what God's word says we're going to do, and we're going to do it. So Jeremiah prayed, you remember last week, and 10 days later, he gets an answer from God. And the answer from God is, if the people will stay in the land, if they'll stay put, God will bless them. But if they go back to Egypt, I'll kill you. That's as clear as it can be. Chapter 42, verse 22. That's as clear as it can be. You have one option here if you want to live. You have one option if you want to experience the blessings of God. And if you reject the word of God on this, you're going to be headed to one disaster after another, which will include ending your own life. Now, in view of what the people had promised, well, tell us what the word of God is, we're going to do it. You would expect that these people would say, okay, that's what we're going to do, boy. We're going to obey the word of God. We're going to experience the blessing of God. That's not what happens. It is not what happens. Just as soon as God revealed his will, false religious and political leaders opposed it, and they convinced the people to follow them and do just the opposite of the word of God, which eventually led to their judgment. Now, we've been in this church for over 20 years. When we first came to this church, I made it very clear that I am a biblical counselor. I don't do psychological profiles. I don't do personality analysis. My counseling is real simple. We listen to a situation, we think it through, we try to set forth biblical truths that pertain to that situation. And we always say this: if you do the will of God and obey the word of God, your life ultimately is going to be real good. And we've seen people do that many times. Now, you would think that the majority of people that would come to counsel would want that. You would think people would say, okay, tell us what the word of God says on this issue. Tell us what we should do and we'll obey it. Problem is, some people don't want to obey. There's always that person that goes, yes, but. I hear what the word of God says, but I don't like what I'm hearing. Some people just think God is sitting in heaven with nothing better to do than waiting for him to do what they want him to do. This is God we're talking about here. He is Almighty God, and he's to be obeyed. And I could cite many examples of people that were told the truth of God. They went to some other counselor, told them stuff else, and they're now on medication, and most of them have lives that are emotional wreck. Why? Because they just wouldn't listen to the word of God. It isn't good enough. They want more than that. And that's exactly where it was with these people. The God of the Bible gave them his word, and they're going, no, 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 we don't want that. We want something different. We don't like what the word says. We don't like that. We've got to look elsewhere. So there are three main historical observations we make from the chapter. First of all, Jeremiah's message of not going to Egypt is immediately opposed. Notice verse 1. But as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling all the people all the words of the Lord their God, that is, all these words, Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you're telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you are not to enter Egypt to reside there, but Baruch, the son of Neriah, is inciting you against us to give us over into the hand of the Chaldeans so they will put us to death or exile us to Babylon. You know, this is just like the vast majority of people out there. They want God's will until it goes against what they want or what they think. And then they don't want God's will anymore. I mean, we've seen that many times when it comes to doctrinal issues. People want doctrine until all of a sudden that doctrine shows them you're wrong. Now all of a sudden, that becomes a whole new dimension. Do I accept the word of God or do I just oppose the word of God? And that really was the choice that they were left with right here. Do we accept what Jeremiah is telling us as the word of God or not? Well, just as soon as Jeremiah got done speaking, and he, after 10 days, came back and God answered the prayer, and he revealed the word of God, don't go to Egypt, Azariah and Johanan and all the arrogant men, and by the way, they're arrogant. That's why they don't want to hear the word of God. They're proud, arrogant people. They always are. They come out and say, you're lying. They're calling the one man on earth who tells the truth a liar. This is the truth setter. Jeremiah is no liar. And they're calling the one guy on earth who doesn't lie a liar. This was the same Johanan who had warned Gedaliah that he was going to be assassinated. This was the same Johanan who went and rescued those Jewish hostages from Ishmael. So I would say he probably did carry quite a bit of weight with the people. I mean, he looked like somewhat of a hero to these people that were still left. These were men who were arrogantly defying the word of God spoken by Jeremiah. Jeremiah had told them that they were deceptive in having him pray for them. He said, I see your deception. You're not fooling me. And they were deceiving themselves when they said they really wanted to obey God. So, according to verse 2, they started alleging that God didn't really send Jeremiah and God didn't really give him a message that said they should not go to Egypt, and Jeremiah had just made it up. They said God has not sent him with an answer to prayer. This is not a real answer to prayer. I mean, yeah, he's been praying about it. Doesn't matter. He's been on his knees praying about it. He's just made up the message. In fact, they take it further than that. They say in verse 3, Baruch is the one who told him what to say. Baruch is the guy who gave Jeremiah the message that they've got a conspiracy going here. They want us turned over to the hands of the Babylonians, so we'll either be hauled to Babylon or killed. What a crazy argument. What in the world would Jeremiah and Baruch have to gain if this were the reason for them giving the message? Their argument's ludicrous. So the people are listening to this. The people have just heard Jeremiah say, here's the will of God, don't go to Egypt. God has answered my prayer, here's your word, don't go to Egypt. They've just listened to Jeremiah tell them that, and they just listened to these other arrogant people say, it's not really the word of God, Jeremiah is a liar, and the message that he just told us is coming from a man named Baruch, it's not really coming from God. Now you would think somebody in that congregation would say, you know, God has revealed through Jeremiah that these phony religious leaders are the false, deceptive liars. I mean, we've watched this go down over the years. We've seen what God has done with Jeremiah. Those were the guys. Those arrogant liars were the guys that were leading us away from the word of God and the blessings of God. I mean, we saw what happened. And these guys take their deception to a whole new level now by accusing Jeremiah of being the liar when they're the liar. They're the one who said, oh no, we don't have to leave Jerusalem. God's never going to allow any bad thing to happen to Jerusalem. They had seen it with their own eyes when Jeremiah told them. Frankly, it's amazing that the people would follow these false religious leaders that are telling them things that they can see aren't true. I mean, you would think in light of what these people had already seen, they would realize Jeremiah's not a liar. Every prediction that guy has made has come true just exactly as he said it was going to come true. You would have thought somebody in the group would have said, you know, Jeremiah was the one who predicted that Nebuchadnezzar would be sent by God and he would come into Jerusalem. And he told them, Nebuchadnezzar's coming into Jerusalem and he's going to take us captive. And if you'll submit to him, it'll go well with you. But if it don't, it's going to go bad with you. And he did that in three different waves. And remember, those false, arrogant religious leaders said, well, that isn't going to happen, really. I mean, we're being blessed by God, so you have nothing to worry about. That isn't going to happen to us. I mean, we're in a peace relationship with God. We're being blessed by God. What Jeremiah is saying isn't true. Just that fact alone of what they've seen happen to Jerusalem that is now burned to the ground. You would have thought that would have convinced these people that these leaders are the ones not telling the truth. It's Jeremiah who's telling the truth. These guys aren't telling the truth, but somehow they get conned by these guys. I don't get it, but they get conned by these guys. These guys wanted to go to Egypt, and there was not a thing that Jeremiah could say to stop them. So they call him a liar. They tell him, you don't really have a message from God. You've made it up, and some man told you what to say. And you want to know why they're doing this? Because the true word of God doesn't fit with the way they think. The true word of God doesn't fit in with their desires. The true word of God doesn't fit their plans. When you're in a position of leadership, people sometimes come up to you with all kinds of notions and ideas about a lot of topics, what the Bible says, what doctrine is. And sometimes they'll throw something at you, and you know what the truth is, and they're throwing it at you because they want you to agree with them. So you find yourself in a position when they throw something at you to go, no, it's not what the Word of God teaches. You're wrong. Here's what the Word of God actually teaches. And it's at that moment where you kind of get to see a reaction like this. Because some people are fine as long as you'll just tell them what they want to hear. But the moment you say, no, that's not what the Word of God is. That's not what the Word of God says. Now you create a friction. and you'll discover who's serious about the word, learning it and understanding it, and who isn't. It's pretty clear that these people here decided we're not really interested in what the word of God has to say at all. So that brings us to the second fact. Jeremiah's message was purposely and blatantly disobeyed. Notice what we read beginning at verse 4. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces took the entire remnant of Judah, who had returned from all the nations to which they had been driven away in order to reside in the land of Judah, the men, the women, the children, the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and grandson of Shaphan, together with Jeremiah the prophet and Baruch, the son of Neriah, and they entered the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. When it comes to the word of God, you have two options. I mean, this really gets simple. When it comes to the word of God, on any area of life, you have two options, obey it or not. It's just that simple. There are no in-betweens on this. And the only way, for example, to be saved is believe in Jesus Christ. He's the only way to be saved. That is clearly what the gospel of God reveals in the book of Romans. That's clearly what the gospel of God reveals in the book of Galatians. Now, you either believe that or you don't. You either believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved or you don't. There are plenty of phony religions out there and phony religious leaders that will try to convince you that your works are going to save you. And they'll try to convince you that if you measure up to their codes and standards and keep a few laws and you're not so bad, it's not faith alone in Christ that'll save you, but your works will save you. And it comes right down to this. Do you believe the truth or do you believe them? It's the way it's always been. God's people had a choice to make here. You have Jeremiah, who's a man of God, who knows the word of God, who's telling them the truth of God. You either believe him and what he's telling you, or you believe these other guys who've been saying things that are false from day one. We either believe God and obey God and we'll be saved by staying in the land of Judah. That's what Jeremiah told them. Believe God and stay in the land, you'll be saved here. Or you can leave the land and you'll be destroyed down there in the land of Egypt. Those are the two options. You only have two options, stay or leave. Verse 4 said, they opted not to obey the word of God to be saved. And I want you to notice the text says, and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord. All the people would not listen to Jeremiah. They would not listen to the word of God. They refused to obey God. They refused to stay in Judah. They just did just the opposite of what Jeremiah had told them to do. Now you see, if you would have obeyed God at this point, in this historical context, you would have had to say, you know, we're really going to have to trust God because the Babylonians are taking over this land. God has told us if we stay here, he's going to bless us here and we'll prosper here and we'll be fruitful here and he'll bless our land here. But boy, when you look at the optics of this, it doesn't look like that because Babylon's been just destroying things. They just burned down Jerusalem and the temple. So it doesn't look like they're going to do that. So what it comes down to now is, do we really believe the word of God? It comes down to that. Do you really trust God? And oftentimes that's where faith comes to fruition in some moment, in some difficult circumstance. When you're looking at the circumstance, it doesn't even make sense, and the circumstance isn't even adding up or stacking up. But then you've got the word of God on the issue, and it comes down to this. Do we believe God or not? And they're thinking, if we stay here, we're perhaps putting our lives in jeopardy because the Babylonians are conquering the land, and we've got that nut Ishmael that just was an assassin who killed a bunch of the Babylonian guard, and they may be really angry at us, but yet God's word has told us we're supposed to stay here, so do we believe the word of God or not? You never go wrong believing the word of God. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how bad or bleak things look. You will never go wrong believing and obeying the word of God. According to verse 5, when that first wave of the Babylonian attack hit Israel, many people returned to Judah. Some of these same guys, Johanan and some of the commanders, they were responsible for, you remember, rounding up, as it were, the remnant from Judah and hauling them back to the promised land, hauling them back to Israel. But now these same guys are now leading these people out of the land of Judah, and they're leading them to Egypt. And from verse 6, we learn they took Jeremiah and Baruch with them. That's what we see there. Jeremiah the prophet and Baruch the son of Neriah. Now, I believe those two were forced to go against their own will. They had no say in the matter. So here you go again. You know, think about this. Jeremiah had a choice that he could have made to gone to Babylonia as a hero. Remember that when he was given that choice a couple chapters ago? Nebuzaradan said, you can travel, we'll take you in an honor parade, and we'll take you to Babylon. He said, the choice is yours. You can go with us and you'll be honored in Babylon. Daniel was in Babylon. He would have certainly honored Jeremiah, as would have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were there. They would have honored him. Or you can stay here in this land if you want. And Jeremiah said, you know, I'm just going to stay with the people. He could have been enjoying a good life, a retired life. He didn't have to put up with these hassles anymore had he gone to Babylon. And now he decided to stay with this group of people who basically kidnapped him, and they're forcing him to go to Egypt. Now, some people have suggested Jeremiah believed it was his duty to stay with the people. I don't think that for one second. Jeremiah would never blatantly disobey the word of God. He just wouldn't do it. I mean, Jeremiah would not just blatantly disobey the word of God when the word of God said, don't go to Egypt. He wouldn't have done that. I think Jeremiah was forced to go. He wasn't about to blatantly disobey the word of God. He'd never done that in his life. In other words, these military guys forced Jeremiah to go with them as they disobeyed God and they headed toward Egypt. So what you actually have here, now look at this. You have political and religious and military powers forcing godly men to do just the opposite of what the Word of God wanted them to do. Don't you see a parallel with this to the United States of America? When you have powerful people and they're basically controlling things and they're forcing God's people to do things they don't even want to do and be part of. That's exactly what was happening here. Of course, one point of interest that I think is worth mentioning is why would they want Jeremiah to go with them when you know he's telling people just the opposite of what they're doing? I mean, Jeremiah is not going to go along and say, oh, this is going to be a blessed trip as we disobey the word of God and go to Egypt. He's going to keep hammering the truth. He's going to tell them, you're doing wrong. This isn't right what you're doing, and you need to get back, and we need to turn around and we can go back. Probably they had him along as like a lucky charm. I mean, that's what I think they're doing by kidnapping him and Baruch. I mean, they thought if we have Jeremiah along, maybe we have a better chance of survival, because if Nebuchadnezzar would catch up to us, I mean, Jeremiah is a guy who's highly esteemed by him, and things might go well with us. But here's what I do know. That sovereignty of God is with Jeremiah. And this is what God's people always need to know in remnant theology. God will always look out for faithful people, even when they find themselves in situations that they hate. God will always look out for and bless faithful people even when they find themselves in situations they don't like. Because God's hand's still on Jeremiah. Nothing changes. God's hand is still on Jeremiah. You can haul him as a prisoner to Egypt. God's hand will still be on him, and that'll be proved by the next section, which is historical fact number 3. God reveals his word to Jeremiah about what he's going to do. Notice in verse 7 we read, and they went as far as Tapanhes. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tapanhes, saying, take some large stones in your hands and hide them in the mortar in the brick terrace, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace in Tapanhes, in the sight of some of the Jews, and say to them, thus says the Lord host, the God of Israel, behold, I'm going to send and get Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I'm going to set his throne right over these stones that I have hidden, and he will spread his canopy over them. He will also come and strike the land of Egypt. Those who are meant for death will be given over to death, and those for captivity to captivity, and those for the sword to the sword. And I shall set fire to the temples of the gods of Egypt, and he will burn them and take them captive. So he will wrap himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd wraps himself with his garment, and he will depart from there safely. He will also shatter the obelisks of Heliopolis, which is in the land of Egypt, and the temples of the gods of Egypt, and he will burn with fire. Before we tackle this section, let's just have this principle. If God's people make a decision, I'm going to ignore the word of God. And you have that right as God's people. You have a right to say, I'm not going to obey God. That's your choice and that's your right. But here's what you need to know. Here's what all of us need to know. If God's people make a decision to ignore the word of God and disobey the word of God, you're doing that at your own peril. And I promise you this, at some point, God will track you down. He will not let his property get away with it. In the northeast corner of the Nile River Basin area in Egypt is a place called Tapanhas. It's modern-day Tel Dafane. This was like a border town, and it was far enough away from the real crux of Egyptian life. It was like a border town, and the people of Israel, for some reason, decided to stop there. It's been speculated that they may have needed to get permission from Pharaoh or king if they were going to go any deeper into Egypt, and this was kind of a border town where they could kind of just hunker down for a while as they're on the run from the will of God. Jerome says this was a place where Jeremiah actually eventually was stoned. Now, I don't know how long they'd been camped there. The text doesn't tell us when they got to Tapanhas how long they had been there, but what we do know is while they were there, here comes the word of the Lord to Jeremiah again, which shows us it doesn't matter where Jeremiah was, he's God's man. It doesn't matter where you put Jeremiah, he was a communicator of the word of God. And God's man is always God's man, he'll always speak for God, and God will always speak through his faithful man, no matter where he's at. So what God decided to do, since they aren't listening to the word, is he said, I want you to present a symbolic picture as a prophet. We've seen him do this kind of thing before earlier in the book of Jeremiah. He's done this several times. I want you to do a physical illustration that will illustrate what I'm going to do to those Jews that have run to Egypt. These people could care less about the word of God, but certainly if Jeremiah were to do this illustration, it would be something that would get their attention. I mean, they would certainly say, well, what's he doing? So God told Jeremiah, I want you to take some large stones and bury them in clay in the brick pavement at the entrance to Pharaoh's palace at Tapanhas. Now, this particular palace was not the primary residence of the palace because it was like out on the distant suburban areas of the land of Egypt. So it's far away from the headquarters. But it was a place where the Pharaoh would stay when he would travel. It obviously was one of his palace houses where he was known to have lived. And he says in verse 9, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this in sight of some of the Jews. I want you to do this in the presence of the Jews. Now, the stones were to be large stones, but stones that you can handle in your own hands. And God tells Jeremiah, what I want you to do is I want you to take those stones and I want you to bury them in the ground, in the walkway, kind of like a sidewalk. I want you to bury them in the ground in front of Pharaoh's palace. Now, I'm assuming it may have been just a little bit back from the door, because I don't know if the Egyptians would just let him start digging and doing that, or perhaps it was just like an upgrade of the sidewalk. But what Jeremiah did is he went in there with these stones, and he obviously dug out some dirt, and he started putting these stones right there by that palace of the Pharaoh. And after Jeremiah had done that, according to verse 10, God tells him, you interpret this. You tell the people what this means. And the interpretation is going to symbolize what I'm going to do to these exiles who've run to Egypt and what I'm going to do to Egypt. God says in verse 10, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get Nebuchadnezzar. You guys think you've gotten away from him. It's interesting, in verse 10, God calls Nebuchadnezzar, who's a heathen king, he's my servant. I'll turn his mind. I'm going to go get Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to allow him to come right down to this very spot where you people have run and fled, and I'm going to let him spread his throne right here. I'm going to let Nebuchadnezzar literally set up his throne on this very spot where you have put these stones. He says to Jeremiah, you tell the people Nebuchadnezzar is going to be brought here by God. He will put up a tent pavilion that will establish his throne right here at this very spot. And in verse 11, he says he'll also, when he's done killing you Jews who've disobeyed God, he'll strike the entire land of Egypt. He'll kill people that God wants to be killed. He'll take captive people God wants taken captive. He'll do what God wants them to do. There are some people God says, I'm assigning to the death penalty. Some people I will let be taken captive, and other people I will just let be cut up with a sword. And he says in verse 12, I'll tell you how easy it's going to be for him. He's going to burn down religious shrines. He's going to burn down all of the false deities of the Egyptian world. He's going to take all their valuable things, and it's going to be so easy for him. He's going to come in there and wrap himself with Egypt's land as easy as a shepherd would wrap himself in a garment. Well, you know, a shepherd just takes a garment and wraps it around him. That's pretty easy for anybody to do. You take a coat and wrap it around you. He said, that's how easy I'm going to make this for Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, you haven't gotten away with this at all. Now, he would also, he says in verse 13, shatter the temple of the sun located in Heliopolis, which is located about 10 miles northeast of Cairo. And in 568 to 567 BC, Nebuchadnezzar invaded Egypt, and he did every single thing that was predicted right here. There has been an inscription that has been found that says Nebuchadnezzar actually invaded Egypt in 568 to 567 BC when Amasis was the pharaoh. And this was his last major military move. This was his last attack. He didn't even seem to be interested in a land grab. It's almost like he was just coming here for punitive purposes. God just brought him here. He went into that land, destroyed the people that had run from the will of God, destroyed the Egyptians, burned down their false idolatrous worship things, and then he just went back to Babylon. In other words, God literally fulfilled that prophecy. And he used that heathen political military leader to do it. Now look, we've said this as we've gone through Jeremiah. You choose to do whatever you want to in life. Choose to obey God, choose not to obey God. Choose to obey the word of God, choose not to. Choose to take it seriously, choose not to take it seriously. Make your choice. But know this. If you opt as a believer to choose to do the opposite of what God wants you to do, you will not end up with happy consequences. And it will not bring you the blessings of God. You know, there are some people who really think that if I really get serious about understanding the Word of God and applying it to my life, I'm going to have a miserable life. I'll just be a miserable person. I won't have any happiness and joy. Life is just going to be a real burden to me. That is just false. I'll tell you what, the greatest freedom and the greatest fulfillment that anybody can ever have in life is as a child of God obeying the Word of God. Christ said, I'll not just give you life, I'll give you an abundant life. So what I would say in light of this chapter is you always take God's word seriously. And don't give in or believe people who are religious or political who tell you the opposite of the word of God. Don't believe them. They're lying to you. The word of God will never lie. And when you obey the word of God, you'll be blessed. When you don't, It'll be tough going. That's what you see in Jeremiah 43. Well, our time is long gone tonight. Thank you for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.